As I've said, I've never been good at putting titles on my messages, so in trying to come up with one, I've come up with three or four. So, take your pick it down. in this section of Scripture, the title could be, "What Do You Seek?" Or, "What is your priority?" Or, "What are you aiming at?" The text that was just read, that I'll be briefly expounding through His glory, starts with that question. In the New American Standard, He says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ." And starting that verse in verse 1, "If then you've been raised up with Christ." I have a flashback when we were homeschooling our kids, and I had the math curriculum and doing geometry. And a crazy thought or a crazy lesson I learned, that apparently Spurgeon loved to do geometry proofs. Because in the proofs, if this is so, then this is so. If this, then you have this. If this isn't, then this down here is not going to happen. And looking at chapter 1 or chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm seeing geometry proofs. If then you've been raised up with Christ. If then is a question that needs to be asked. Your heart, your soul, if then, has it been raised up with Christ? I've been told, and many have been told, you never question that. But yet, the Scriptures give us two different places in Scripture that does ask that question. Where He tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, to test ourselves, to see if we're in the faith. As He says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ..." Have you been raised up with Christ? Are you in the faith? The other goes to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Make your calling and election sure. If then, have you been raised up with Christ? Are you a new creature? If not, then this is your invitation. The invitation is now to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. As He said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, repent and believe the gospel. We're here to remind ourselves of the gospel, of the grace of God, of the difference that He is making in our lives. Not to just leave us where we are and hope we make it through okay, but we are to be transformed. As through our Sunday school lesson, thinking on these things, those things are good, right, and pure, in Philippians chapter 4. Is our life any different? Or, like some houses, you kind of put some spackle on the cracks on the wall and put a fresh coat of paint, you'll never know what happened. Is our lives living out more like a spackled wall and a freshly painted to where you just don't know it? Or have we been transformed? Have we been risen with Christ? Is there a new life? Is it brand new? As he says, verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Again, much like our Sunday school lesson, where is our mind dwelling? Are we setting our minds on the things where Christ is seated? Are we setting our mind on those things that are eternal? On those things that are true and pure and lovely? As Philippians 8, or chapter 4, verse 8, says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Where is your mind dwelling? What are you seeking? What are you aiming for? I was told when I was, my dad was teaching me how to shoot and hunt. He said, son, remember, if you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. Then I looked at him kind of funny. Then he explained, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit nothing. Ah, okay. The same thing in our lives. What are we aiming for? What are we seeking? Have we been raised up with Christ? Are we new creatures in Christ? Are we living a new life? Or are we just those spackled and freshly painted walls that the foundation's falling apart that you can't see yet? Where are we? What kind of life is He seeing in us? Regardless of what others may see, what matters is what is God seeing? What does He see? What do we set our minds on? What are we focused on? What are we striving for? I don't know who had said this originally, but I'll admit that I'm pirating whatever they had said. Whatever is of not, has no eternal value, is eternally worthless. Is our minds and our thoughts dwelling on those things that are eternally worthless, or those things that have eternal value? Where is our hearts? What is our motivations? Where is our peace? In the crazy days that we're living in, it's not a bad thing not to kind of take, we've taken sabbaticals from watching the news so that we can maintain some type of normalcy in our mind. And says, because it's, I don't need all that. She doesn't need all that. We all don't need all that they're trying to feed us. But knowing what God's Word has to say, letting our minds dwell on those things, having our minds set on those things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Those things will give us courage, that'll give us boldness, that'll give us peace. Not in what we can conjure up in our own minds or catch by whatever is being sold as entertainment today. What have you set your mind on? What is your aim? What are we looking for? He continues. He says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. And the item that Pastor said is sitting out, I'm excited to see what it has to say because that's one of the texts. Is Christ our life? Or is He just an attachment? Is it just a smokescreen? Is it just to say a few words so people won't ask any more deep questions? How real is it? Is it a facade? Or is it genuine? Have you been raised up with Christ? Are you living a new life? Or is it just not as bad as those people across the tracks somewhere? This is the question that we ask ourselves. The Lord is asking, He says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things where He is, seated at the right hand of God. Where is our mind dwelling? Where is our peace? Where is our focus? What is our aim? What is our joy? Many will try to sell it as, if you have this, it's okay. If this, we're not looking to sell anything. And we're not buying what the world is trying to sell us. We used to be there, as we'll see. We used to be, if you have been raised up with Christ, if this is true, then this is true. If you have been raised with Christ, then our life isn't what it used to be. Our focus and our joy and our aim is not what it used to be. But now it's something else. Now our minds are set on the things where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. As He says, when Christ is revealed, who is your life, then you will be revealed. When Christ is revealed, everyone will be revealed. Those that are His and those that are not. When He is revealed, hearts will be revealed. No matter what kind of facade that we can put on, when He is revealed, our lives will be shown for what they really are. He says, we have died with Him. He tells us, back over again in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Letting our lives reflect the One who has redeemed us, reflecting the life that has been given to us, reflecting the One who has created us. Letting His life be made more evident in us to the rest of the world, as we are, according to Scripture, we are His ambassadors. We are speaking for Him. Advertising for Him. What are people realizing and hearing and seeing and learning about God in your life and in my life? Those things that are right. Because see, if the first question, if then you've been raised up with Christ, if we have, then we have died to sin. We have died to the ownership of the sin that used to own us. We're no longer the same. We have a different set of goals and perspectives that we are pursuing. What then? What is our peace? He tells us again over in Galatians chapter 5, which says that we have died, verse 21, chapter 2, verse 21 of Galatians. We have died with Christ. I'm jumping ahead in my note, but in Galatians 2:20, we've died with Christ. The life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us, who gave himself up for us. That is our lives. That should be our lives. That should be my life. That should be your life. If then you have been raised up with Christ. That is our peace. That is our joy. That is our goal. That is our aim. He says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed. Many put on, as I have said in the past, put on the facade, and they may look the part and may sound the part. Again, they know how to speak Christianese. They say the right things to, oh, we don't have to say anything or ask them anything because they're okay. They know the phrases, but their lives are still a mess, just as ours was, until the Lord came and redeemed us, until the Lord came and made the difference. He reminds us that everything is laid bare before Him. We might be able to fool those around us, but we can't fool God. He says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. All things are open and laid bare before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God knows. God knows us. God knows whom He has raised. God knows whom He has called. Are our lives reflecting the difference that He is making? Are we living that resurrected life? I used to say, incorrectly, if I was Lazarus, oh, what an attitude I would have. Because He raised him from the dead. But then the reality is, He did raise me from the dead. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Even as the rest, as Ephesians chapter 2 speaks of. He did raise me from the dead. I was not alive, but by His grace and only by His grace and for His glory, He raised me up and made me His. Long before I ever thought of Him, as me and Brother D were mentioning earlier, before He said, let there be light, He had already pinned down the names because of His grace. Not because of any grand things that any of us have done, but because of His call. He makes the difference in our lives. Many will say, but Lord, yes, I am. I'm yours. As they did, look in Matthew 7:21, where He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22 says, but Lord, we prophesied, we did this, we did that. And verse 23 says, I never knew you. Depart, workers of lawlessness. They had fooled themselves, they had fooled many others around them, but God is not deceived. He sees the hurt. We are all laid bare. He knows what's going on the inside. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. They might look good on the outside, but is there something subtle that's being slid in? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Will we trust Him? Will we trust Him for His holy call? He continues in Colossians in verse 5. He says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Some say, oh, they've always been saying about the wrath of God. I said, yes, they have. And they didn't believe it the first time that it came. And they're not believing it this time either. Many are not. As Noah was preparing the ark, nobody believed him. Just him and his family and the animals that God had sent to get on board the ark, they were the only ones who survived the deluge of water. God's wrath on man's rebellion and sin came in the form of the flood. But His wrath is coming again because of man's wrath and rebellion and sin. But this time it's not going to be with water, but it's going to be with fire. But they've been talking about that a long time, said yes. But it's still true. In God's time, in God's way, it will come about. He reminds us back over again in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body as to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Because of what He has done, because of gratitude and a true love of the mercy that God has extended to vile creatures as we are naturally, we want to respond to Him in love, in gratitude, in praise of who He is. Again, he says over in Galatians chapter 5, similar, but I was starting jumping ahead of my note. We said in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Just before that, talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And how common it is to see the deeds of the flesh all around us. So, oh, but I'm a Christian, but I'm living this life. It's not whether you convince me or convince someone else. What is God declaring about your life? What are you seeking? If then you've been raised up with Christ, have you been raised up with Christ? Do you have a new hope, a new desire, a new life? Or just more of spackling a fresh paint job to make it look okay? Not paying attention to the foundation that's falling apart. What is the hope? Continues. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. The difference in our lives is not to be some kind of accomplishment that we can say, I did this. But it's Christ, what He has done. Have we set our minds and our hearts on Him? Where has your heart been set? What is your main priority? What is the goal? What is your aim? Just get by? Or what? He's been more than gracious and kind that He would save sinners as you and I. If then we have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We're just passing through this joint. Eternity, our home, is on its way. We've got the promise of eternity, being welcomed in the presence of a holy God that we have offended. What kind of lives should we be living? What is our lives reflecting? He's coming back. Will we be as shocked as others as our lives are being revealed? Will we be looking like Him or more like everyone else? Are we new or not? Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us that those that He has raised from the dead are new. In chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Are we displaying the new things that have come? Of being at peace with the God that we have offended because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? He knows us. He sees us. We can't fool Him. Where is your heart? What is your aim? What is your pursuit? What is your joy? The biggest battle happens in the cavity of our skull. In our cranium, he says, by the renewing of our mind in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Is our minds renewed to the likeness and conformity and the pursuit of the one who has redeemed us? That's our question. What are you pursuing? Have you been raised up? What difference is it making in your life right now? Let's pray. God, you have been more than merciful and gracious and kind and compassionate. You have seen us and you have known us and you have loved us despite our rebellion. God, as our times, according to your word, we don't know when you are returning, but we know you are. We know that you will be coming back. May we reflect you. May we love you. And may you be blessed. Help us now, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.